All right, praise the good Lord on this rainy Lord's Day, Sunday morning. I think it's the 27th. It's good to be in the house of God. Good to be saved. I tell you what, buddy, for 34 years, I didn't know what it meant to be saved.
Right.
But for 32 years, I've enjoyed what it means to be saved. And I just praise God. I'm glad He saves old sinners. Paul said of a truth, Christ Jesus came in this world to save sinners. He said, of whom I'm chief. And I feel like I'm right behind Him. But no sinner is too great for Jesus to turn away. He said, all that come to me, I'll in no wise turn away. I believe it's John 6:37.
Amen.
And I'll tell you, He went on a little further. John 5:40. And He said, you will not come to me that you may have life. He promised He wouldn't turn you away. He promised if you'd come, He'd fix it. The psalmist said, my heart's fixed. I know what that means now, because my heart is fixed.
Yeah.
And I tell you, buddy, before I got my heart fixed, I had doubt and despair. I was tossed to and fro, had fear, had all kind of things to deal with. But praise God, there's a great peace in my soul.
Amen.
Thanks to Jesus.
Yeah.
Thanks to salvation. Thanks to Calvary. Thanks to the grace of God. Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. We're going to try to sing a song this morning. And I profess I'm not a singer. I'm not much of a preacher. But I for sure ain't a singer. But we're going to try to sing number 77 in the Heavenly Highway Hymns. And I love this songbook. As far as I'm concerned, there's not another songbook. I was raised on this songbook. I love it. I was glad to see it when I got here. Song number 77, titled Blessed Jesus Loves You Too. On the rugged cross of Calvary, Jesus gave His life for you. Though the vilest sinner you may be, blessed Jesus loves you too. Blessed Jesus dearly loves you. He's a friend so kind and true. Though the vilest sinner you may be, blessed Jesus loves you too. When the burdens press on every hand, when you know not what to do, just remember Christ will understand. Blessed Jesus loves you too. Blessed Jesus dearly loves you. He's a friend so kind and true. Though the vilest sinner you may be, blessed Jesus loves you too. Come and seek His precious tender care. He will save and pardon you. Every sorrow He will gladly bear. Blessed Jesus loves you too. Blessed Jesus dearly loves you. He's a friend so kind and true. Though the vilest sinner you may be, blessed Jesus loves you too. Oh, I'll tell you what, though the vilest sinner you may be, blessed Jesus loves you too.
Yes.
For the love of God, how rich, how deep it goes. Amen. We're going to read an excerpt out of this book, Voices from the Edge of Eternity, compiled by John Myers. I've really enjoyed reading this book. I've read it several times before I even got this one, but I went back to it. Reading some excerpts out of it just seemed like it's been a real help. And this is about a young girl. And it's a terrible testimony. And you're going to leave behind some kind of testimony.
Right.
And sadly, her testimony that she left behind is not good. And it don't give her name. It says Miss A, with a line out beside it, was taken very sick and was informed that she could not live. Her parents had educated her to follow the ways and the fashions of the world and had turned her away from the love of God and from the truth of God. Now she lay dying, wounded by her young friends. Surrounded by her young friends with whom she had indulged in the pleasures of sin. The wretched girl called her father to her bedside, and in front of everybody, she said, "Your heart is as black as hell. If you had taught me to live for God rather than spending your time quarreling with mother, I might have been saved." Turning to the others, she pled with them, saying, "Do not follow my ungodly example. Do not do as I have done. Do not indulge in the hellish pleasures of this world. Oh, if I had only heeded the warnings." Then she suddenly cried, "Oh, the devil is coming to drag my soul down to hell. I am lost. Lost forever." Then she died. That's a terrible testimony.
Yes.
A terrible commentary. You know, a lot of people meet that same fate. It's sad. It happens every day.
Amen.
It's a whole lot better to go to the house of God, hear about the love of God,
right,
hear about the will of God, that God's not willing that any perish, but that all come to repentance. A whole lot better come hear a preacher. He might stutter, he might stammer, he might struggle even deliver a message, but it'd be a whole lot better hear the good news of Calvary.
Amen.
Than to go out and enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, my friend. I'm one that somehow made it through it. I ran the gauntlet of sin for 34 years as ashamed of it as I am. I'm glad by the mercy and grace of God I've somehow saved and somehow delivered and somehow set free from that bondage. And it's not true with everybody, but I am so glad. Jesus said, "Who'll love me the most? He's been forgiven of much, or he has been forgiven a little." And then the disciple said, "I suppose he has been forgiven of much." And he said, "You've answered rightly." We'll take our preaching text. Let me say before we do this, our brother Harvey, we laid him to rest Friday. And it was, to some degree, a little awkward. It wasn't like the normal funeral. And we've been put in a predicament I don't want to be in. A lot of laws and a lot of restrictions and opposition have been exercised. And you'd think that a funeral would be considered essential. But no matter what they consider a funeral essential or not, death's going to come to all.
Right.
As a matter of fact, Hebrews 9:27 says, "As it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment, death's going to come." It's not going to come at a time of convenience. It's going to come when you least expect it. Brother Harvey, bless his heart, we somehow made it through his funeral. It wasn't easy, wasn't pleasant. I wish it could have been under better circumstances, but we said goodbye to our brother here, and one day we'll say hello there. Amen.
Amen, that's right.
All right, we're going to be taking our preaching text out of Hebrews chapter 10. And we're only going to read one verse here. Verse 25. I'll be commenting on some other verses here. But we're going to read Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. The Word of God says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." We'll stop our reading right there. I'm going to be preaching today a message, "Is the Church Essential?" And I'm convinced I won't be able to get all this into one message, so it'll probably be one of many to come. But I am glad to say that the church is essential. We'll be preaching to that effect in a minute. Father, we thank you for the church. We thank you, Lord, that you love the church and gave yourself for it. I'm glad, Lord, to say that I've been purchased with the blood of Christ. I'm not my own. You purchased the church with your own blood.
Yeah.
You said, "On this rock, I'll build my church." Lord, the church is being somehow oppressed, somehow attacked. Somehow, Lord, there's an effort of the Antichrist spirit, Lord, put in opposition against your church. Well, I never thought I'd live long enough to see the day and hour that I'm seeing right now.
Right.
But I pray you help your church. I pray, God, Lord, you'd open the eyes of your church. I pray you'd help your people redeem the time to realize just how evil these days are. God, help our country, Lord. If America could ever say it needed anything, it needs the church of God. It needs the God that raised the church up and made it what it is. It needs the God that adds to the church daily such as should be saved. Help us, Father God, today. I have a desire, Father, to preach this message, but I don't want to preach it in the flesh. I pray, God, you'll help me, Lord, today. Lord, would you put, I pray, your blessing upon our efforts today and help us to preach in my spirit and not in my flesh. Help me, Lord, I pray, Lord. I pray to be obedient. Lord, that the Holy Spirit's beckoning. I pray that you'll help me, Lord, to be able to submit and yield to all that you'd have me to say and do. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen and amen. Is the church essential? Well, let me say real quick. Some say no. Some say yes. But what saith the Scriptures? What matters to me?
Amen.
And you know, we got small churches mentioned in the Bible. I thought about Brother Ed in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11. Paul said, only Luke is with me. And I thought about Brother Ed. Here he is with me. Amen.
Yes.
I mean, two's enough to have church. Amen.
Amen.
And you know, we're not at a loss. Just come get a few here. We got enough to have church. Amen.
Right.
I love church.
Yes.
Amen. The Lord loved the church and gave himself for it.
Yes.
One day he's coming for his church.
Amen.
Amen. He's going to present it unto himself. A glorious church. Not having spot. Not having wrinkle. Amen. It's his church. Amen.
Right.
I'm glad to be a part of his church.
Amen.
But you know what? If I ain't got nobody but Brother Ed here, his son, Jason's here with me too. But last Sunday, wasn't nobody but me and old Brother Ed. And I thought about this verse. I was out there at the dump, and this verse come to my mind. I was telling Brother Ed, I got a thought from the Lord out there at the dump as I was unloading the trash out of that trailer. I thought about Paul putting in there, only Luke is with me.
Yeah.
He had another.
That's
you don't have no Brother Ed here. That's enough to shout the roof off. Amen.
Yeah,
amen. I'll tell you what, buddy. You know, I heard a story one time about a farmer had a pond down off over the hill. And he said the frogs in that pond was too noisy. He told his wife, he said, I'm draining that pond. I've had enough of them frogs keeping me awake. And he called a man come up to the dozer and drained that pond. Come find out wasn't that one big old bullfrog in that pond. But that one bullfrog was enough.
Amen.
Let's be like that bullfrog. Amen. I want the devil to know. Amen. I'm saved. I want him to know. I love the Lord. Amen. I want him to know who I am and where I'm going one day. And the way things are looking ain't going to be very long. Amen. Oh my.
Boy, that's a church.
A lot of small churches mentioned in the Bible. John, exiled on the Isle of Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus, said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And guess what? Jesus showed up. Revelation chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. Jesus can show up if there's only one.
That's
Jesus
right.
Can show up if there's only two. There's two disciples. They're walking on their way to Emmaus. And Jesus showed up in Luke 24, 14 through 32. And I want you to know, after that, they went to the other disciples. And when they did, as they were testifying to them, about that time, Jesus showed up again. Amen. In Luke 24, 33 through 45. And he supped with them. Amen. And he blessed them. And he opened up the scriptures to them. Amen.
Amen.
But we got small churches mentioned in the Bible.
Yeah.
We got large churches mentioned in the Bible. In Acts chapter 2, verse 41, you got 3,000 being recorded saved.
Yeah.
In Acts chapter 4, verse 4, you got 5,000 being recorded being saved. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 9 through 10, you got 5,000 being fed. And then you got right there, 4,000 being fed.
Right.
In Revelation chapter 7, verse 9 through 14, it mentions a multitude that no man can number of every kindred, tongue, and nation. And hey, robes is given unto them, and they're worshiping God, and the angels worshiping God, and I'm telling you, they're having church in a big way. Amen.
Amen.
Let me say this about the word essential. I looked that up. I didn't want to be wrong. I'm pretty sure I knew what it meant, but I wanted to make sure. So I looked up that word essential. Here's what it means, Brother Ed. Absolutely necessary.
Yeah.
It mentioned, or indispensable. And let me tell you something. Something we can't do without.
Right.
Paul said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Philippians chapter 1, verse 21.
Yeah.
He said he couldn't live without fellowshipping with the Lord. And I said, Amen. And you know what? Let me put this in a better perspective here. Does a flower need rain to grow?
Yes.
Well, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26, talking about the church, that he might cleanse it by the washing of the water of the word.
Uh-huh.
Does a flower need the sun to bloom? Well, in Psalm 16, verse 11, says, in his presence there is fullness of joy, and at his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. I want you to know, just like that flower needs the rain to come up, just like that flower needs the sun to blossom and bloom, so do we. And I'll get that here in a minute, amen. Does a flower need warmth? Flowers don't grow in the snow. I haven't seen any. They may do it, but I haven't seen any here in Kentucky.
No.
I've seen a few surprised by the snow, but they didn't start out in the snow. They just made a hurly sprout and got caught in a late snow. But in Luke 24:32, we mentioned about those two disciples walking on their way to Emmaus. One of the things they said, did not our hearts burn within us as we walked together and as they was fellowshipping with the Lord?
Yeah.
And let me say this, beloved, is the church essential? We're like a flower. Psalms 103, verse 15. And it's Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 24, says we're like a flower of the field. And Job 14, verse 2 says one day we'll be cut down like a flower of the field. I want to say this about the church. Just like a flower, we need to be in the house of God.
Yeah.
Just like a flower, we need the word of God. Just like a flower, we need the Son of God. And just like a flower, we need our hearts stirred and tied to God. We need that warmth of fellowship with our Savior. Amen.
Right.
Amen. And we got a lot of people down here, and they're not all what they need to be. Hey, I was listening to Brother Lee Watts yesterday. Oh, by the way, let me say, I got a phone call real quick here from Brother Bob Malkin up there in Columbus, Ohio, that Orthodox saved Jew. And I got a blessing just talking with him. Every time he calls me, buddy, my cup runs over.
Yeah.
We probably talked long. We need to talk. May even say a thing we shouldn't need him say. But I really enjoyed that fellowship with Brother Bob.
Yeah.
How good, how pleasant it is, the Bible says, when brethren can have fellowship together.
Yeah.
We was fellowshipping, amen.
Yeah.
But listen, I was listening to Brother Lee Watts yesterday on the radio. And he said this is a hysteria, not a crisis. He mentioned the propaganda being promoted concerning the number of deaths is a lie, not true. He mentioned last year we had his job in the military was to decipher propaganda of the enemy and put it in perspective. And being a proficient at that, he noticed this. Last year we had 932 deaths due to the flu. No school closings, no church closings, no businesses were closed. He said last year by April, this time, he said there were 310 deaths by the flu. He said this year by April, we had 171 deaths attributed, and may not necessarily be true here, but attributed to the coronavirus COVID-19. He started bringing up facts about the reporting also. He mentioned, and good that he did because it's true, he mentioned about the Democrats' misrepresentation. He mentioned the governors and the mayor of New York, New Jersey, Illinois, and Kentucky had reported there had been 34,000 deaths, and it may or may not be true. I certainly don't have no dog in that. But he also mentioned that the Republican governors and mayors of Tennessee, Texas, Ohio, and Indiana reported 2,266 deaths. And there's quite a bit of difference between them two. Over 32,000 difference there. And this governor, Lee, mentioned that he's starting to conduct himself like a tyrant, like a king. He's taking the power of the legislative branch and not only making laws, but he's enforcing them. And he said, I boldly said this, that businesses have to get his permission to open back up, and it may be as far as 2021. Let that sink down just a minute in your head there. It may be 2021 before he gives them permission to open back up. And he's all upset because they had protest up there, right there at his office there. And he said protests, which are, by the way, constitutionally protected by the First Amendment,
right,
are no longer allowed unless you park 1/8 of a mile away. And with that in mind, just a charter bus, have him drop you off at his doorstep and bring the signs and the mega horns and let him know he ain't nothing but a man, not much one that. And they got a schedule, already a protest scheduled May the 2nd right there at the governor's door. And we do need to protest this governor's conduct.
Yeah.
Like I said, I noticed this morning 2 million chickens are going to be killed due to the lack of employees at the processing plant. Now you can bet there'll be a reaction to that right there. Amen. I have no doubt about it. Now they're going to be killed anyway, but these will be killed and discarded because there's no one there to process them.
Right.
And I can just see Petter down there showing up having a fit. Oh, they're not going to have no problem with babies being butchered and murdered from abortion, but they're going to have a fit over these feathered chickens. Amen.
Right.
I'm pretty fond of chicken myself. I had some last night. But Romans chapter 1 verse 5, Paul said, I'm ready to preach. And Job said, I've esteemed thy word more necessary than my daily food. Job 23:12. Let me say this also. When Daniel knew that the decree from the king was signed, he prayed as he did before with his windows open 3 times a day. In Daniel chapter 6 verse 10, Joshua said in Joshua 24:15, he said, choose you this day whom you'll serve. And he didn't say this, but he could. If he said our day and time, he could have said, ask for me in my house. We're going to church. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, listen, I don't want to be a rebel or nothing, but the church is essential, and I'm going to be preaching about that right now. Amen.
Yes, it is.
We need the church. Peter stated that we need to be put in remembrance of the things of God, and he desired to stir them up by putting them in remembrance in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12 through 13. And listen, if we don't get stirred from time to time, we'll get stale. Amen. But the Scripture states that we need to assemble. Do you notice that verse number 25?
Yeah.
It says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. And the very Word of God tells us we don't need to shut the church.
That's
the very
right.
Word of God tells us that we need to be in the house of God.
Yeah.
And I'm a little bit, my family may be a little rebel, and I ask God not to help me preach in the flesh. So I'll try my best to be nice, to be truthful here.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you right now, it's going to be a day of shame when Jesus shows up.
Yeah.
And here we are, like that bunch had Israel cowering down because there was a 9-foot giant named Goliath. God told David, I'm having that for that. Go down there and show him up. Amen. I'll tell you what, this government we got today better be careful.
Yeah.
And the church that we got today better be careful. I'll tell you right now, I'm all for being safe. I am. I wouldn't want nobody to get sick for nothing.
No.
I wouldn't want no loss of life for nothing. But you need to clear that up between you and God.
Amen.
I'm not like Joshua. I'm going to be here. Hey, if you tell me if I come, I'm dying. I say it's a good day to die. I'm good to go. And one I read over, she said, I'm ready to go. Amen.
Yeah.
We need to be assembled. No law of man should interrupt the law of God.
No.
By the law of God here, he said, not forsaking the assembling of who? Ourselves together. We need to assemble. If you look up in verse number 21, we got a high priest over the house of God. Hey, I don't want to show up if Jesus ain't here.
No.
But Jesus promised if we were assembled.
Yes.
That he would show up.
Amen. Yes.
That he would be in the midst. That we could fellowship with him. Hey, I don't want to be in the church and the Lord not be there. I just didn't put a sign up for sale, close that business.
Yes.
But listen, one reason we need to assemble is because Jesus shows up.
Yes.
Amen. It's because we need him.
Yes.
Like the flower.
Yes.
Amen. We need the fellowship of the Lord.
Yes.
We need him to come and cause our hearts to burn.
Yes.
And open our eyes with that sight. And cause us to realize that this ain't our home. Amen.
Right.
Man, kind of like my pastor, he said, you know, I know what the world says, but he said, if it's okay with you, he said, I'd just soon not leave and live an extra 2 days in the nursing home. I'd just soon fill my days and go home, amen.
Right.
But listen, we need to assemble because it's the Lord's church. We need to assemble because we got a high priest over the church, and he's always there, and he blesses. Brother so-and-so, and he blesses Brother so-and-so, and they shout, and I shout, and we all shout, and we all enjoy, amen, the fellowship of him, amen.
Yes.
We have a high priest. We're not like the world. All the meetings of the world, Brother Ed, they've been canceled.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've seen a lot of people, they're pretty shaken by this sports guy. Can't have the baseball.
Yeah.
Can't have the football.
Yeah.
Can't have the basketball. Can't have the tennis ball. Can't have the golf ball. Can't have the goofball. And the Lord said, you want to meet, I'll meet with you.
Yeah. Amen.
It ain't been canceled.
No, that's
right. Matter of fact, he promised to be here.
Yeah,
he said if two or three show up, I've had a few just one-on-one. Yeah. I was driving up there to see my wife up there in the hospital up at Bowling Green, and they played that song on King of Kings radio, A Penny's from Heaven. I was sitting there thinking, boy, how blessed I was. And the little things are big things when you get to thinking about them. And those pennies from heaven, they don't cost us nothing. And they come from God. And they fill our cup till it runs over. And we get to drink from the saucer, amen.
Yeah.
Oh my. The command here is not. I'm a little. Here's why I'm trying not to get in the flesh. Help me here, Lord. I know a lot of churches are closed right now. And I'm certainly not throwing rocks. I'm certainly not kicking. I'm just saying, boy, I'm just not in agreement with it. And I know every one of us got to give an account. And I know we got to exercise precaution. But I'm about had it up to here.
Yeah.
I've been all over the place this morning. Pray and ask God for wisdom here. I'm not sure we're doing the right thing. I'm not sure we need to be closing the house of the living God.
No.
There are lost people out there that look to us and they need us to be what we are saved and called to be. We're called to be examples of a believer. We're called to be ambassadors. We're called to be witnesses.
Yes, that's right.
I don't see how that can happen when the door's closed.
No.
And I know some churches are big. And for that very reason, they need to exercise the greater precaution. Our church is little. We've probably got enough room here to house all of ours safely and any visitors that want to show up.
Yeah.
But can you imagine a lost person saying, I thought God was able. And here we are with a tail tug.
Yeah.
Here we are behind the closed door. And saying, we can't assemble.
Yeah.
God said, not forsaken to assemble ourselves together.
Yes.
My brothers that'll be listening to this, I want you to know I love you. But for conscience sake, and this is just me and God, for conscience sake, I can't stay home. If this church closes doors, I'll be on the public square.
Yeah.
If this church closes doors, I'll probably be in jail. They've done arrested me. But I'll tell you right now, the love of Christ constrains me.
Yeah.
I cannot sit home. I'm so glad my deacon said, hey, I'll meet with you over there.
Right.
And I hope, pray God, that the rest of the congregation gets on board. I miss Brother Jerry leading the singing. I miss the piano playing Sister Shad. I miss the bass playing Sister Caroline.
Yeah.
I miss the testimonies. I miss the smiling faces.
Yeah.
I miss looking at the congregation.
Yeah.
I'm the living God, amen.
Amen.
Hey, God said, not. You reckon God's worried about this coronavirus?
No.
Man, I'll tell you what, I don't understand everything here about God. I do know one thing. Jesus' mother said this about Jesus, whatever he says, do it.
That's right.
It may not have made no sense when he turned the water into wine. They did what he said. And they went and drew it to the governor. He said, I never tasted wine like this all my life. He said, you saved the best of them. Whatever Jesus says, we need to do it.
That's
we need to be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving ourselves, James said. Hey, listen, God said that we need to assemble. He said we don't need to forsake our assembling together. He said we got a high priest. And not only that, notice this, verse 21. He's over the house of God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's the great physician.
Yeah, that's right.
Man, he raised people from the dead. Hey, he healed those that were sick.
Yeah.
He cleansed the lepers. He opened the eyes of the blind. He unstopped the ears of the deaf. Hey, he healed a woman who had an issue of blood. He healed a man by the pool of Bethesda. I'm telling you, been in the heaven of man, I saw like 38 years or something like that. He's the great physician.
Yeah,
he's
man.
Over the house of God.
Yes, he is.
Woo! That may not do nothing for you. Having a high priest over the house of God. How in the world could we ever be afraid?
Right.
Let that sink in just a minute.
That's right.
I mean, if God be for us,
okay,
who can be against us?
That's right.
Greater is He's in us than He's in the world. I don't you know, buddy, that He gave us power over devils, power over unclean spirits, power over sickness and such things like that. I tell you, we don't need to have our tail tucked. My opinion, we need to have our tail in the house of God. And listen, if you're under conviction about not coming, hey, I'd exercise your rights, do something about it. If you're not under conviction about it, stay home. It probably wouldn't be no different if you was here. But as for me, I gotta be here. As for me, I gotta sit at the table of the Lord. I wanna sup with Him. I wanna sing about Him. I want to tell people about Him, amen. We got a high priest over the house of God. And he said we need to assemble.
Mm.
Now let's go down to verse 22. Look at there. Look at there, Brother Ed.
Yeah.
We need to draw near.
That's right.
Now that don't mean stay home. That means get out there, get some gas in your car, get some clothes on, shoes on your feet. And we need to draw near.
Yes.
This is quite a bit here of preaching this.
Bless him, God.
We don't need to worship God afar off. We don't need to follow God afar off. We don't need to stay home. And I say this with a degree of charity because, like I said, my conscience here, and I'm fighting it right now, trying not to get in the flesh. But listen, it's one thing to see a message on the internet. It's one thing to hear it by way of the internet.
Yeah.
But it's another thing altogether to be there and say, glory to God.
Yeah.
Oh, what a Savior.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. We need to be really careful.
Yeah.
Concerning the church. God put us in charge.
Yes, He did.
I'm not really seeing what I want to see. I'd a whole lot rather see pastors and preachers saying, you know, I don't care what our governor says. God said we need to be in the house of God.
Right.
And we're going to go.
Right.
And we're going to try to be practical about it. We're not going to try to be stupid. We'll use the 6 feet. You know, I went to IGA store last night on the way home. People walking around everywhere.
Yeah.
I got the line at Wendy's. I pulled in at Sonic, door to door. Go in phone line. People everywhere. Some of them got masks on. Some of them don't. I'm one that don't. Why don't you, Brother Eddie? I'm good to go. I'm not trying to act like a fool. I've done been at this door before. And I'll tell you this about it. What a little bit of experience I had with it. It ain't no big deal.
No.
I remember at the time, all that got my mind was I wasn't expecting to die today.
Yeah.
After I realized it looked like I was going to die today, I kind of got on board with it, Brother Ed. It's kind of like being on a roller coaster ride. It ain't like you can get off.
No,
I mean, you got to ride it out. But I'm sitting there for the first time in my life. I'm thinking positively about dying.
Mm-hmm.
How'd you do that, Brother Ed? I thought, well, I ain't going to have to work no more. I ain't going to have to worry no more.
That's right.
Going to get to see my little daughter.
Yeah.
Up there in heaven.
Yeah. Amen.
Going to get to see Jesus. Going to be able to say goodbye down here to this madness down here, this man-made hell.
Yeah.
Now, I may not be able to change the world. I understand that. I've seen some of our leaders change the world. Evil men creeping in unaware, they just kind of slipped in and then their true colors showed.
Mm.
I mean, our government, truly, honestly, is supposed to be other people. They don't meet that qualification.
No.
Some of them don't even speak English. I noticed I got a letter in the mail yesterday about my leave of absence I took so I could be with my wife. On the back of it wrote Chinese, Japanese, and I never seen such right in my life. But the side I read said I've been approved and everything was okay, and I hope that's right. If it ain't, I don't really care. Yeah. I'll be honest with you, buddy. I've got a shepherd over this sheep.
Hey,
he's the good shepherd. He loves the sheep. He leads the sheep. Hey, he guides the sheep, but he'll never leave them.
That's right.
He said, I'm with you always. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And my great high priest, he said, we need to draw near. Now, when I say draw near, old brother Eddie, I always sit on the front row. I can't help it. It's just me.
Yeah.
And I remember where Bethel over, I sat on the front row and everybody sat about halfway back or further. And my prayer the whole time I was over there, I was over somewhere around 20, 25, and 30 years. My whole prayer was, Lord, please give me some company up on this front row. It wasn't too long, I couldn't find a seat. And I said, "Wow, praise the Lord!" But you know what? I wanted them to come. I didn't want to say, y'all bunch of imbeciles, you want to get up here on this front row.
Right.
Get it first hand. Don't get that old peach fork.
That's right.
Get me back behind you. Hey, get up here and get it fresh. Now, I know. I remember one time I got to church late coming from work. I sat back there in the back. And I'd never done that before. I just didn't want to start the service. Rick's done preaching. And I just want to slip in, get what I could of it. But I got to weeping. I couldn't believe all the distractions, all the things that was going on. People doing their nails, bouncing their checkbook, texting on phones, and writing notes, and doing all kind of things that ought not be done in the house of God. Let us draw near. Get you a front row seat. Hey, let the Lord know you love Him. Let Him know you're here for the Word of God and for the testimony of Jesus. Amen. Woo, see what time we got here. I got to be quick. Look here, verse 22. Let us draw near. Look at verse 23. Let us hold fast.
Yeah.
You see, some things you can kind of let slip. This ain't one of them.
Mm-mm.
The Bible said we ought to give the most earnest heed to the Word of God, lest at any time we should let it slip. I want you to know what? I want to be steadfast. I want to be unmovable. I want to be always abounding in the work of the Lord. I want to be found working when it comes. I want to be found hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I'll tell you what, buddy. We need to hold fast the things of God.
Yeah.
I think some things have been kind of slipping for quite some time. I think the Antichrist knew it was going to be. I think this time has already been set. And God kind of spoke about it. We'll get that here in a minute. But Hebrews chapter 2 verse 1 says we ought to give the most earnest heed lest at any time we let the Word of God slip. We need to hold fast the things of God. Hey, you need to learn some Bible. You need to hide God's Word in your heart that you might have it, amen. That you might not sin against Him. Hey, we need to draw near. We need to hold fast. Look at that next verse, verse 24. We need to consider.
Yeah.
I know everybody ain't like old brother Eddie. And I don't hold that against him. I just ain't got over it yet. I remember my neighbor one time, he invited me to go to revival with him. I hadn't been saved very long. And I didn't know how to act, and I still don't, in the house of God. And we was out there at the Big Meadow Baptist Church. And my good neighbor, Homer and Leoma, his wife, Reese, they invited me and my wife to go. And that preacher up there, he's up there, and I thought he was just kind of struggling. You know, I was used to hearing Brother Rick preach like a wild man, you know, until about down like a Comanche Indian. And this guy was up there, and I thought he was struggling, and he was quiet in the church, and I just, amen, brother. My neighbor stood all the way down there to the end. And everybody in that church turned and said, who brought him in here? And I haven't got to go to church no more with my neighbor. But I tell you what, buddy, the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
Yeah.
When we went home that night, Brother Ed, my wife told me, bless her heart, I appreciate her doing it. She said, honey, you're right.
Yeah.
She said, they're just not in fellowship with the Lord.
That's right.
And all I said was, amen, brother.
Yeah.
I'm just reading the Word of God. And that's all I did, just not really loud. Not trying to draw attention away from or to me. I just said, amen, brother.
Yeah.
And that was it. My neighbors stood all the way down to the end of the pew. And they never moved their neck to the left or right. They sat down and looked straight forward.
Yeah.
And at the church got to figure out who I was. They all got away from me too. But let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Amen. Hey, there's some things here we've not been doing.
Amen. That's right.
Bless you, Brother Ed. There's some things here we've not been doing.
That's right.
There's some things here we've been letting slip.
Yes.
The church is out of sync with the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
We're so used to going through the motions of having church.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we start up dry. We end up dry.
Yes.
I don't like having dry eyes.
Oh.
I've been praying God break my heart.
Yes.
But I'd rather have God do it than me muster up some kind of old fake crocodile tear and try to put on some kind of persona like I'm broken heart when I ain't. I'm telling you, we've been letting some fire slip, and you might as well and say amen,
that's right.
Mm. Look down at verse 25. Do you notice that? We need to exhort one another.
Oh yes.
Yeah. We need to consider what's being said while we're there.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I think we just show up out of habit.
Yeah.
We don't even really come to get nothing but exhorting one another, encouraging one another, provoking one another.
Mm-hmm.
I need to hear people testify.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's the same one every time.
That's right.
It don't bother me a bit. I don't care. I want to thank the Lord save me. If that's all you say, hey, listen, when you say that, I get something out of it.
That's
I don't care if you say, I want to thank the Lord for being saved.
Yeah.
I don't care if you want to say, I want to thank the Lord for the good service, for the good singing, for being able to be here, for my health, for my family, for my home. I don't care what you thank the Lord for. I want you to know it edifies me.
Yeah.
Now hear you praise God about something. Amen.
Yeah.
Oh, how do we stay silent? I don't know where to sink. I can tell you that right now. Oh, look, I know I'm not the sharpest knife at the drawer. I know I'm not no great preacher. I'm not even trying to come across like I am. But I will tell you this. I've been saved long enough. I've been called to preach long enough to look around and see something's wrong.
Yeah.
And it's wrong in the house of God.
Yeah,
and it's
right.
wrong with the people of God. And there's something wrong when our governor tells us we can't assemble in the house of God.
Right.
When the high priest over the house of God said, I'm telling you not to forsake the assembly of yourselves together. Amen.
Amen. That's right.
Oh, I tell you, there's something wrong big time.
Yes.
He said to exhort one another. Everybody comes through that door. Even if I don't know them, they encourage me. We had four women show up over here one day unannounced. I didn't even know who they was, but boy, one of them, I have to admit, I drank from the fountain. She drank from it. She jumped up, shouted all over the place.
Yeah.
When she finally got where she could talk, she said, I want to thank the Lord that we decided to come today.
Yeah.
It's been good, amen, to be in the house of God.
Yeah.
I tell you, the things of God are good, amen. Whew. Oh my, what are we missing? By forsaking the son of ourselves together. Hey, he said that we need to continue. Now, that's the opposite of forsaking. He said it's not the word continue, but notice down here in verse 25, and it's so much the more. That same thing is continue. You see, forsaking is not doing it at all. So, not forsaking the son of ourselves together, the opposite of that is assembling ourselves together.
Yeah.
And so much the more.
Yeah.
Now, that continue. That means we need to stay with the stuff. That means, buddy, Jesus said, if we be His disciples, He said, continue ye in my word. Hey, listen, we're supposed to follow Him
That's
all
right.
the way, not part of the way.
That's right.
Continue. He said, so much the more.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my, how we're failing this verse today in our country.
Yeah.
And also in verse 25. If you look down there, the very last part, so much the more as you see the day approaching.
Yeah.
You see, we need to watch. Paul talked about the time is short. And he talked about saints are falling back into the world. He mentioned Demas there in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. He said, Demas, that's right above the verse where I said only Luke is with me. And in 2 Timothy 4:11, verse 10 said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Let me tell you something about Demas. He was a fellow laborer. He was a co-laborer. Hey, he was one, I'm telling you, turned the world upside down for the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
And he got out of sync, got out of fellowship. Next thing you know, he's back out in the world.
Right.
And I'm starting to understand how he did it. Amen. He didn't do what this verse says. He stayed in church. You need to continue in the things of God. You need to be steadfast. You need, I'm telling anybody, not let things slip. We need to draw near. We need to consider. We need to exhort. We need to continue. We need to watch. Amen.
That's right.
I know the Bible says that there'll be a falling away for the day of Christ comes in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. And I say, God forbid that we have arrived. And let me say this, yes, the church is essential. But I've noticed that the church is falling away.
Mm-hmm.
It's already went further than I thought it'd go. It really has. And it may be yet to go even further.
Yeah.
They put nails in the parking lot up there. Brother Jack Robinson's church, that's probably another church member did that. Because they're jealous, because they're bold enough to go ahead and have service, even though the head state troopers show up, had orders from the judge not to have service. And Jack Robinson, bless his heart, thank God for him. Hey, he's still having church, still praising God. I'm telling you, God's looking for somebody that lifted up his name, somebody that will go for a hill, somebody that will say, it's for me and my house, we're going to the house of God.
Amen, that's right.
I know there's going to be a great falling away. I'm just concerned that we might be entering that right now.
Yeah.
Paul said before the day of the Lord comes, there will be a great falling away.
Mm-hmm.
I look this year, it's been different. I'll tell you why it's been different, because this was where God said it'd be before He comes.
Yeah.
You know that parable, that fig tree, Matthew chapter 24. Learn that parable, that fig tree. You see, if Israel hadn't been where it's at, it'd been just like all the other plagues.
Mm-hmm.
But I want you to know, Israel's where it's supposed to be. And the signs of the time are all like the compass pointing to the coming of the Lord. I believe if there was a time to be in the house of God, it's high time.
Yeah.
It's now. It's today.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, brother, God forgive us. And He will. But God help us get back in the house of God. Get the house of God filled up back again. Amen. Yes, the church is essential. Yes, we're His ambassadors. 2 Corinthians 5:20. Yes, we're His witnesses. Acts 1 verse 8. Yes, we're examples of the believer in 1 Timothy 4:12. Because if we don't, I'll tell you, brother, and he also mentions about the love of many would wax cold.
Yeah.
In Mark chapter 24 verse number 12. Yeah. I believe it's right. Because if we don't, if we're not His ambassadors,
mm-hmm.
if we're not His witnesses, if we're not His examples, then we'll be His castaways. Paul mentioned there in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27, and we'll end up being shipwrecked because of it in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 19. All right, so I'm trying my best not to get in the flesh, but I'm concerned about all these doors being closed on the churches. And I'll tell you, this is why I am. There's lost people. If there ever was a good time for the church to be open, it's right now.
Yeah.
This pandemic they've unleashed upon this country. And I, by the way, I will say this. Send the bill for it to China.
That's
have that
right.
The national debt.
Yeah.
They're the ones sent this thing over here. They knew they sent it over here. They didn't tell nobody about it. Tried to keep it on the rug, and it got out. And look, the finger point belongs to them. Let them pick up the bill. That'll take care of the national debt. I'm telling you, charge them double for all this trouble they've caused us. Amen. But what are the lost people saying about the church? What are the lost people saying when we stay home on Sunday?
Yeah,
that's right. You know, I remember I stayed home one Sunday, and it bothered me to stay home. I gave in to the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember coming back the next Sunday, and my pastor told me, he said, boy, you missed a good one, brother. I said, I know what. I knew the devil was trying to keep me home just so I would miss a good one.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? It was me that consented. It was me that made the decision to stay home instead of go.
Yeah.
I'm sad that it happened, but I'm also glad that it happened because it made me better prepared to understand the attacks. The Bible said, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you. That's just normal. The devil's going to come against you nine different ways. He's going to say, hey, it's too late to go. He's going to say, hey, there's no hurry. They're not going to miss you. I tell you right now, Jesus noticed Thomas was missing.
Mm-hmm.
He made a special trip back.
Yeah, he did.
He said, Thomas, come here a minute, boy. Put your finger in the nail hole in my hand.
Yeah.
Thrust your hand in my side.
Yeah.
He wanted him to know he loved him just as much as the rest of them. It wasn't Jesus' fault that Thomas wasn't there, but Jesus come again for Thomas' sake.
Yes.
He noticed Thomas wasn't there.
Yeah.
Oh my. He noticed a lot of things. But one thing I want him to notice about me, I want him to know I'm ruined for this world.
Yeah.
I want him to know I don't fit in down here. I want him to know, buddy, my mind stayed on things above.
That's
I want him
right.
to know I love him supremely. Listen, if coronavirus wants me, here I am.
Yeah,
buddy.
That's right.
It ain't no threat to me anyway. I'm pretty convinced it couldn't even have its way with me if it wanted to. I'm pretty sure the Lord said, no plague can come out of thy dwelling. There is Psalm 91. And you know, by the Word of God, I'll just take that promise right there. You know, one thing you get to hear when you get in church, you get to hear about the exceeding great, precious promises to us, Lord.
Yeah.
I like your promises.
I do too.
I'm telling you, buddy, I stand on them promises. And one of the promises from God, no plague will come out of thy dwelling. Somebody said, well, what about this? Hey, look, you told God about that. But as for me, my mind made up.
Mm-hmm.
I can't see nor understand why the houses of the living God that inhabits eternity are closed. And I pray for my brothers to take note and to pray about this matter. Please don't do anything, put anybody in jeopardy. But if there's any way possible, if you had to have five services a Sunday, meeting rows of 10 or 20,
mm-hmm.
it'd be better than not having no service at all. We're supposed to be wise as a serpent. We're supposed to be harmless as a dove. I believe if we put our mind to it, we'd figure out some way.
That's right.
To conduct service, have church. Father, we thank you for this message today, and I hope and pray that it be understood that I preach this message in love, and I preach this message with accordance to the Word of God. And Lord, I know if I've rebuked any of my brothers, I know, Lord, that they'll accept it and they'll forgive me for it. And I know they're wise. I know they'll receive it in love. And Lord, I pray, God, Lord, we'll all wake up from this slumber we've been put in. And I pray, God, Lord, we'll all get on our feet and we'll all make accommodation to head the house of God and do it in the right way. I believe it can be done if we do it in the right way. I really do. And Lord, whatever needs to be done here, may the hand of God do it. And may the glory be given to God.
Yeah.
And Lord, I confess, Lord, how worthless I am. And Lord, how wicked my heart is, I confess. But Lord, I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm not ashamed of you. I'm glad I love you. And I'm glad, Lord, that if it be possible, I will be in the house of God next Sunday and every day we can. I could actually confess even to my preaching brothers right now. We're a little church. We don't have Wednesday night service. We don't have Sunday night service. But we're working in that direction. And good Lord be willing, it'll be a day when we can.
Yeah.
And we'll rejoice upon that day. But until then, we're going to do what we can while we can. And we're not going to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And we're going to do it so much the more as we see the day approaching. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Oh my.